I was told my life was ending, and it was a matter of weeks. I wouldn't even say months, I think. Literally, all you can do is hold the hand of the person you love, tell them you love them, and pray. It was May 7th of 2012. I was at college and I was in class. Went back to my class, knew my sweet mates would be there, but of course I didn't expect my parents to be there as well. And me and my three roommates sat on the floor together and probably held hands or hugged. And my dad looked me in the eye and told me that it was a tumor that was cancerous. And it was aggressive. They said it had probably been growing for 6 to 7 years. Chemo was brutal. It's the only way to say that it was. I would be in the hospital for a week, and I would have chemo every day for about 2 hours, but I was constantly hooked up to a drip. So I couldn't, you know, go outside. I couldn't do things that would have been extremely helpful during chemo treatments. After chemo, it was time to have surgery. And this was a risky surgery, they knew, but they didn't know how risky. I was told when I woke up that I'd have a 2 or 3 inch incision, just from depending on how they had to get the tumor out when they were in there. Well, long story short, I woke up and my entire inner thigh had been opened. It was wrapped around the femoral nerve and artery, and I could have died during that surgery then. Probably should have, and I didn't. So not only had God kept me alive during the treatments, he then was like, nope, you're not done, Lizzie. This surgery will not be the end. So after this, it was the end of summer, and I went back for my senior year. As soon as school started, within the first week, I then started radiation. So I went to Manchester University, but I had to go to Muncie every day for treatment. So I did treatment for 40 rounds, so it was a Monday through Friday, and once we hit the 40th mark, I was done, except I had severe burns from it. So I had to take some time off, had to take a little bit of time off of school and just try to heal even when your body can't whatsoever. I remember the day I walked into the cancer center and my parents were there and they walked me around the corner and then my entire family was there. If I didn't already know, I wasn't alone at that moment. I knew it even more, and my family kept me going. My mom, my dad, my brother kept me going, and just without the prayer, I wouldn't have made it through my first experience. Joel and I had our first date at the restaurant 20 downtown, and we had never met prior to the date. I watched him walk in and was excited. He was cute. And I walked in. He said, hey, are you Lizzie? And I said, yes. And we ate at this little round table tucked in a corner. And since that moment, that's been our table at 20.
It was great for about 4 months. It was like a nice reality, met this nice lady, down to earth, and then cancer happened again.
The second time I was diagnosed, the cancer was in my right groin hip area and on the tip of my right lung. So with it being in the two locations, they biopsied both and they did both come to be cancerous, and it was tricky to make the decision to have the lung biopsy. They said, Lizzie, if we do a lung biopsy, your lungs are going to collapse. They said I really didn't have to, but I needed to know. I needed to for sure know if there was another spot in my body that was in danger. Well, my lungs collapsed, and this was a long process to get back to being able to function, to breathe. And the days were long and hard. Joel was there the whole time. He was right there. He had to help me stand up, get out of bed. I had absolutely no strength whatsoever.
I think that's when the doc came in with both results, wasn't it? And he said there's nothing modern medicine can do because it was on the lung. It's so hard to treat on the lung, something like that.
Yeah. He said with the two locations that modern medicine was pretty much hopeless to us. Last time was scary, but this is worse. This is, in that moment, I was told my life was ending, and it was a matter of weeks. I wouldn't even say months, I think. At that moment, literally all you can do is hold the hand of the person you love, tell them you love them, and pray. Because that's all that could help. That's all that could have made a difference.
When the doctor said that, I remember this warm flush over my body, and it was just kind of this can't be reality. I was angry. Like, I was fully committed at that point. Like, this is who I want to be with. And I think we were even planning on getting married quickly because, you know, we heard that. And why not? I mean, we already knew we liked each other quite a bit. We both had a strong faith and had been through our own stuff personally. Yeah, then we got that second opinion.
The second opinion that we got from a doctor down in Indianapolis once again changed our lives completely. We were sitting at a big boardroom table, and my doctor liked to draw diagrams. Did it since the day we met, and he drew this diagram of how the cancer was, where it was, and where it would grow to, and how we would treat that, and then the next step, and the next step. And sitting there at that table, I don't have a clue what he said, other than we can treat it. So we went from saying, your life is over, to another doctor, just knowing something that he knew would happen. You know, obviously it wasn't a common thing to know to treat my type of cancer, but he knew, and I'm still here again.
So then the second round, they treated Lizzie with this different type of chemo. There was just three shots, three times, came out again on the other side, and we beat it. Ended up getting married in October of 2015. And happiest day of my life, and something that I could have never dreamed of was marrying somebody like you. It was pretty good 3 years. And then all hell broke loose in January of 2018. Lizzie's grandma died in January. Lizzie got pregnant in January, something the doctors said would never happen just because of the location of the radiation, chemo, how the cancer played on that part of the body. It's a huge blessing, but Lizzie's grandma basically raised her because of what her mom went through growing up, and so that was a tough time, even though it was a happy time, it was sad too. And then, boom, one of the routine checkups, we went in and the doctor found the cancer was back, this time right next to where Charlie was. So right next to her in the groin area. So then we have a kid that's on the way, and then we have cancer at the same time. And so we're kind of faced with, what the heck do we do? So we had multiple doctors with multiple different ideas for what we should do. So we ended up, 36 weeks or 34 weeks?
37.
37 weeks. And so there was, at one point, there was a picture of the tumor in Charlie's head right next to each other, both the same size. And just knowing that we would have this birth of Charlie and then have to go right back into chemo, maybe radiation, sickness, was just kind of like, man, that was hard. We couldn't like fully celebrate that, even though we did. I mean, we still loved that we were having a kid, but just the fear of what would happen. And then I think it was right before Charlie was born, they showed us that scan, and then it showed that it ate into part of Lizzie's hip, and that then would need to have surgery.
We walked into this office together down in Indianapolis, and we sat there. And this very happy gentleman walks in and sits down and goes, "Well, Joel and Lizzie, today we are going to talk about your hip replacement." And my mind went blank and my body went numb. I don't think I said a thing the entire appointment, but I was sitting there looking at a computer screen of another MRI that showed Charlie's spine and a tumor, and it was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. And knowing that we had this miracle baby, yet once again, here we are with something else trying to make the miracles not happen. Charlie was born in September of 2018, and I was told chemo started a week later. So here we had this beautiful baby girl, and Joel is in one hospital with her, and I'm in another hospital having chemo. And through all of these days of pure turmoil, we beat cancer again. And it led to ringing that bell that says, "You're done." And I held Charlie's hand in mine as I rang it. And it was one of the most powerful days that I'll experience in my life. In February of 2019, it was time to have my major hip surgery. It was pretty clear cut, yet there was the scary part of my nerves could be damaged and my leg would never work again. And I remember jokingly saying to you, "Well, that's gonna happen to me," which is sad to expect the worst, but I was always ready for it. And I had surgery that day and woke up 2 or 3 days later and had no function. Couldn't move my toes, nothing. It was just there. And from that day on, it has been one surgery after another, and it had been 10 surgeries over the next 2 years that took days away from us being able to experience Charlie as a little baby, and then a one-year-old and a two-year-old. And we missed those moments of just having that sweet little baby that you should have never had. And it was just another surgery around the corner. After all of the surgeries, my hip had basically dislocated more than people should experience, obviously. And we finally said, okay, what are our options? I'm sick of having a surgery this month and the next month and next month. And we tried something that's called an external fixator, where they basically attached big titanium bars to my hip bones and held it in place for 3 months. So this meant I couldn't drive for 3 months. I couldn't bend. I couldn't lay normally. It was always fear that, first of all, it's not going to work. And then the fear of every time I moved, it hurt really bad.
Charlie hit her head on it once.
She did. That made me hurt really bad that she had to experience that with me. But through having that experience, Charlie loved to be my doctor. Every time my nurse came over, Charlie also had her stethoscope. And anytime there was a bandage change, Charlie was right there trying to do it as well. And to see her just fully loving this, to me, this terrible moment that I was experiencing, she loved it. And she just thought she was helping her mom. And her viewpoint on that is what got me through those 3 months. And then the end of the 3 months came, and I got another infection on my hip. So this meant another surgery. Luckily, during this surgery, they decided to also take my X-fix off instead of doing another surgery in a couple weeks. So they took the X-fix off. I was level. My hips were level for the first time in 2 years, I think. And it was a feeling that I had completely forgot what it was. I noticed how bad my back pain had been because I wasn't crooked anymore. And it was an amazing feeling. And then 2021 happened. And I remember in the middle of the night, my mom had been staying with us, helping us. So my mom was asleep on the couch. And I remember in the middle of the night, I heard this sound that I thought was either a siren outside, something off of a movie, or someone having a horrendous dream. And it was my mom crying out in pain, yelling my name, saying, "Lizzie, Philip's dead. He died." And all she could do is say it over and over. To see my mom in that pain of losing her son was scarier to me than any diagnosis, anything. It was something that you never think is actually going to happen to you. And it was tragic. My brother was in an accident and he was gone. And here we were. Life was good. Life felt good. And something else happened. A few days after, we had his memorial, and my other grandmother, my mom's mom, had been sick. We knew that she was declining. We knew it was a matter of time. We just didn't expect it to be 2 days later. So we went from my brother to my grandma all in a week. And that not only flips my life upside down again, but my entire family's. And it was painful. The most painful thing I've ever experienced.
I've never seen Lizzie that depressed, even at that point. We're like 15 surgeries in together. Two cancer fights, blood clots, lung collapses, infections. I think you've been through so much on your own, but then with that, it was like the straw that broke the camel's back. It was bad.
When my grandmother passed away, it just kept going. About 2 days or so later, let's say, all of a sudden, I felt like I was having like this really deep panic attack. This feeling of the elephant on the chest, kind of, except the elephant never got off. And it hurt to breathe. I had to think about every breath I was taking. And it then led me to going to the ER and spending a week in a hospital down in Indianapolis, and figured out that I literally had something called broken heart syndrome. And it's very self-explanatory. Your heart literally breaks and begins to not work. And I remember that week I was there. One of the Sundays I was in the hospital. Brad, during service, asked everybody to get out your phones and send me a picture. And I remember it took me a couple days to look at all of them. I had over 100 messages of people either sending funny family photos, funny pictures of themselves, and it got me through that week. 100% got me through that week. A couple days after I got home, I was walking around. I still felt level, my body was straight, and all of a sudden, my leg dislocated again, my hip. And I just kind of stood there, and I said, Joel? And in that moment, he said, what happened? We then once again knew, here comes another surgery. We went to the doctor. He said, either we can once again open up the hip, clean it out, put new hardware in, and pray once again that it'll stay in, knowing that we would have a matter of time before it dislocated again. Which would just be an ongoing process month after month after month for I don't even know how long. Or another option was to remove the hardware from my hip replacement. And that sounds easy, and it sounds like, okay, that's great, just your leg will shorten a few inches. But it's not easy. I'm so infection prone that I would get an infection that would lead to a lot of danger, to more surgeries, to
sepsis,
to then even from all of that, losing my leg and just having more decisions and more decisions and continuing this process over and over and over. There was a third option. It's called a hemipelvectomy, where they amputate your right leg and the rest of your pelvic bone. And this was our decision. I don't think it took us, you said right away, let's lose the leg. But in a sense of knowing that that's what we needed in order to really start our life.
So she ended up having surgery. Actually went better than the hip replacement surgery. And I think part of that is, man, just the way we're experts at doing surgery and prepping for it and people praying. And now we're on the other side of it. There's a chance that she has a prosthetic that will help her to walk again without assistance that we never thought would happen. So it'll be 3 years in January of no walking. So hopefully when we get to January, she can walk again and we can take a walk down 50 East just with Charlie. I think we've not ever done that. So that's something we're really looking forward to.
Even though I now only have one leg, it is refreshing to know that I'm not going to wake up with that pain. Yes, I still have pain, but it's not pain I dread every day. It's a pain that I know I can get through, and I also know I'm not getting through it on my own. God has been there every second of every day. The church family, our family, friends, everyone has been there since the morning of surgery through surgery, and now we're here today and they're still involved daily. It's something that'll never go away because it's how God's created us to connect with others, and we've just connected through horrible experiences, yet at the same time it's inspired other people. I told myself one day that even though I had to lose a leg and go through every second of pain I've gone through, almost every day someone tells me I inspire them. And if I can be the disciple for God that has to feel the pain in order to impact people, bring them closer to God, to know that God is in everything, then I'll experience every day for the rest of my life.